Hello everyone, welcome to the Australian CISO, a podcast for current and aspiring CISOs and anyone who has an interest in cybersecurity. My name is Richard. Hi everyone, we are back with episode 4 of the Australian CISO podcast with our topic titled Conference Time. If time permits, I will include a couple of interviews I did at a conference this week. One was with a group head of security, also known as a CISO. The other was with a security architect with aspirations of being a CISO. If I can't fit that all into this episode, I'll keep the interviews for the next episode. What I really wanted to bring your attention to in this episode is that being a CISO or head of security is not all about writing strategy papers, reporting to the board, going to countless meetings, or having numerous lunches with vendors.
No.
A major component of the role is keeping your knowledge up to date, hearing what others are doing, and most of all, networking. The more people in security you know, the greater pool of knowledge you have access to. One avenue to boost your knowledge and increase your security network is attending conferences, and it is that topic I want to discuss today. They say that there's no such thing as a free lunch.
No!
I do recommend that you keep an eye out for free conferences, but just get ready for the follow-up email and phone calls you'll receive from the sponsoring vendors. On balance, you will receive a free day's security advice and insight. On the other hand, the vendors, who are sponsoring the event, get your details. Look, they've got a job to do, and I do think the price you pay, i.e. receiving emails or phone calls, is fair enough. Now, let's talk about the conference. This week I attended the Six Degrees media event Security, the Future of Tech, Innovation and Work. Having been to a number of conferences before, sometimes I'll walk away and say to myself, meh, that was okay, I suppose. My initial reaction after attending this event was, wow, what a conference. Now, I'm not getting paid to say this.
No!
But I have to commend Six Degrees Media for all the speakers, panelists, and fireside chatters. They were absolutely top class. Thank you again, Six Degrees Media and speakers. Expertly facilitated by Adam Spencer, you'd know him if you saw him, this conference brought together cyber people, technology people, and everyone in between, hearing from some amazing speakers and viewpoints. Before we get into the two interviews I undertook, this was the conference lineup and some notes I took. Now, Adam Spencer started off as the MC. He showed a great video, I'll include the link to it in the episode notes, showing one of the Guardian's exposés into a man called Jorge, who states that he and his team have influenced 30 or so elections around the world through the use of manipulating technology. Even if you are not into security, the video is a must. Then the following spoke. Now, I'm going to be selective here. I just don't have the time this episode to provide you details of every talk, so I'll only zero in on some. Hamish Hansford from the Australian Cyber and Infrastructure Security Centre spoke first. He was followed by Daryl Pereira from Google Cloud. He showed a simple graph showing two lines, showing the gap between security needs and the current security investment and talent pool. You'd have to see it to believe it, but very simple, but a great graph. There was a great panel entitled The Chiefs, CXO Leaders Panel, that had a great diversity of thought, gender, ages, and experience. And this is where I want to spend a lot of time. I was lucky to catch up with one of the panelists afterwards, and I'll share the recording either on this podcast or the next. So here are some of the points I noted. Data breaches. Third-party risk is undervalued. Basic example, contractors may not go through the same amount of security training that staff do. Despite what the media and some CEOs say, most breaches are not sophisticated. Why do organisations hold on to so much information on their customers? If it's not required, and as long as they comply with legal or privacy legislation, delete the data, archive the data, just don't keep it on your environment. The more information you have, the more information a cyber criminal can access. We always talk about people, process, and technology. Here's a slightly different thought about that. What about people, process, technology, and partnership with other organisations. And this supports one of my statements in an earlier episode where I talk about cyber being a team sport. We all win together. Unfortunately, we seem to be more concerned with arguing about T's and C's and collaborating together. To be fair, Varun from Healthscope did mention there was a bit of sharing in the health sector. And I remember being in retail, we established the Retail Information Security Forum, whose aim was collaboration. We all need to remember that we may all be competing at the cash register, but we all do have a common problem, and that is, of course, cybercrime. The panel acknowledged that the human element could be letting us down with respect to cyber resiliency, with that stat that 95% or more of ransomware occurs due to human error, no matter how you look at it. People were perceived as both the greatest and weakest links. The panel also agreed that to raise cyber education, we needed to cut the jargon. Varun added that we should be linking work cyber risks to the cyber risks we all face in the home environment. One quote I really liked from John O'Driscoll on the panel was that bad guys want the biggest return for the smallest effort, a saying that I might keep for the boardroom. John also talked about not just needing cyber literacy, but also cyber fluency, a concept I personally need to think about. Accurate and timely communications following a breach was something that was highlighted as requiring improvement. This was linked to practicing response capability, which was talked about a lot. We all need pre-written statements that'll require some modification, ready for an incident. Nigel Hedges discussed the balance between frictionless and secure, and we'll cover that in his interview. I.e. in the old days, some systems were asking you to authenticate every 15 minutes. Secure, but certainly causes a lot of friction. There was a belief that criminals are already operating in many Australian businesses. It is very expensive to mandate baseline checks on every staff member in a very thorough manner. The compensating and perhaps adjacent control is that everyone needs to know that they must call out odd behaviour if they detect it. At the end of the panel, they were all asked what was their one handy hint for the attendees, and here they are. Lift and enhance what you've already got. Stop chasing the latest shiny new toy. Use a low-code, no-code, an approach I'd never heard of but is covered in my discussion with Nigel Hedges. You need visibility over all of your assets. You just can't protect what you just don't know about. Get people enthused. Yeah, it could be easier said than done. And invest in automation. Automate the mundane. It was also noted at the end of the discussion that MFA is important, but can be a real challenge in unionised arenas, i.e. people don't have an issue using their own devices for personal MFA usage, i.e. for banking apps, but for some reason they have a real issue using it for work purposes. The next speaker was Leo Kleinman. Now, I used to sit next to Leo when we were both part of the Oceania Cybersecurity Centre Board, so I was really interested to hear what he had to say. Wow, what a talk. Somehow Leo packed what seemed like a lifetime of experiences into his 20-minute talk. He covered issues such as how there are a great number of challenges, especially as the perimeter is constantly changing. The ability to cause harm seems to get easier and easier, but it is difficult, especially when you consider figures like 55 new vulnerabilities getting released every day. There is a talent shortage. SOCs face many challenges, and Leo kindly provided a lot of good stats to consider. The average number of tools in an environment has been estimated at 75 or more. No wonder there are too many alerts. That just slows operations down and causes friction. SOC people are hard to find and retain, with 60% of organisations struggling to retain good people and the associated costs involved. Leo said it can take up to 8 months to find a suitable person and then a further 4 months to bring them up to speed. Again, highlighting the human aspect, he said that you can have the best tools and technology in place, but it's the people that operationalise the program. He said that adopting artificial intelligence will play a critical part in how we operate. There is a need to reduce the overhead. We must reduce the number of weekly alerts. Automating, 30% of incidents could save you one FTE. And there was certainly a lot of talk at the conference about automation and artificial intelligence. Organizations that use artificial intelligence can close the breach cycle 77 days faster, with an average cost reduction of 80%. Leo also talked about how it was important to know how information flowed through your systems. Added to this, he was talking how we should move from indicators of compromise to indicators of attack and indicators of behaviour. Something to think about there. And talking about why programs struggle, he said it had a lot to do with too much noise, tool silos, and lack of action. Leo did cover many aspects, and I do hope I've captured his thoughts accurately here. By this stage of the conference, I was overawed by the amount of information I'd digested, and we were just at 10:45 in the morning. We then heard from Stephen Schiller, known as the Digital CEO. Wow, mind-blowing, all the stuff he had to say. I know I won't do his presentation justice either, but here goes. He did talk about the seven main parts of your brain and how drugs were being made specifically, not generically, but specifically for your brain. How every person generated 1.7 megabytes of data every second. I don't know how that occurs, but I'll take that for granted. He talked about how there were 1 trillion sensors on Earth. He showed a great graph of data since year zero and how in the last, say, 10 years, the graph had spiked right up. For those who think security is all about IT, let's see what Stephen believes are the 7 lessons for CISOs. Understand your company's business model. Understand the reporting lines. Listen. What do people want from security? What are the KPIs your business is measuring and how can you contribute to them? Align the culture with what you do. How are decisions made? Insert yourself into that decision-making process. How is cybersecurity viewed? A blocker? An enabler? Discover that and align yourself more to be an enabler. And last, but by no means least, less risk improves lives and enables the business. This was followed by a great fireside chat with the MC Adam Spencer and Head of Information Security at PayPal, Daniela Fernandez, who I caught up with ever so quickly at lunchtime. She spoke about the importance of integrity and diversity of thought. In the future, she would be looking for individuals with business acumen, empathy, creativity, and a mindset of learning every day. Asked where we get the generation of next talent, she responded with, "We need leaders with diverse backgrounds. Kids need to know about security now." When asked what was the one thing we could do today to improve resiliency, she said, "Prepare and test, test, test our response." And that was a common theme during the conference. She also talked about thinking about the impact, financial, reputation, and legal, but also about the potential impact on our customers and employees. Quite often we think too much about our organisation, but we do have customers and employees. This was followed by the final session, another panel with many distinguished panellists. Jason Morell from OstCyber, Saeed Taspazan from Telstra, Mary Beth Hosking from PointsBet, Jim Katsos from Okta, Dr. Marthy Grobler at CSIRO, and Luke Halliday from Digital Victoria. Sincere apologies if I've not pronounced those names correctly. So this was another great panel. All panelists said they were under constant threat, and I think we can all relate to that. There was a mention of the great work Telstra do, how they block something like 3 billion texts, dodgy email domains, and phishing emails during the year. That's 3 billion of those. That's a lot. We can all learn a lot from breaches when they are reported. MFA is good. We need to look at some other variations. Could be facial recognition or YubiKeys. Now, someone, I think it was Dr. Marthy Grobler, but it could have been Mary Beth Hosking, mentioned the social engineering emanating from the use of AI. So they mentioned that when a call comes in from a number you don't recognize and you state, you know, "Good morning, this is Richard speaking. Hello, hello, is anyone there?" that they only need about 30 seconds of voice. And that's enough to harvest and use to generate a reasonable dialogue in your voice. I.e., they could technically use 30 seconds of your voice characteristics, you know, frequency, harmonic structure and intensity to be able to create a very reasonable and much longer dialogue on your behalf. Not only would it be reasonable and a longer dialogue, it'd be really quite realistic. I hope that all made sense. A great point from the panel was, should we regulate that old data be removed from our environments? Sounds good to me. And note that most important word, regulate. The Privacy Act 1988 is being reviewed, and there's talk that the next version may align with something like GDPR. One suggestion I liked regarding humans and education was play games and inject some fun instead of the yearly LMS training. Make it more engaging. And that was pretty much the end of the conference. Given the length of this episode, I'll create a separate episode covering the two interviews I did. They're both interesting in their own ways and both speak about different opinions regarding security. I hope you'll listen to the next episode to hear their thoughts. As I usually say, if you've made it this far, I salute you. And as I have said before, if you can please rate this podcast with 5 stars and click the follow button, that would be much appreciated. Remember, if you've got any comments or questions, send them to me at the following email address, theaustralianciso@gmail.com. That's theaustralianciso@gmail.com, or just contact me on LinkedIn. Until the next episode, this is Richard wishing you all the best for you along your journey to becoming another Australian CISO. Until the next episode, it's bye for now. This podcast is written, produced and presented by myself, Richard Herron. Any statements I make are my own or have been attributed to the originator. My personal views are mine. They do not necessarily reflect the views of my employer. The podcast is recorded using Audacity, using a Rode Podcaster microphone. The music is provided by Pixabay. The music is called Pluck Loop, 91 beats per minute.